Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Brewers Outlet Day, everybody. Yes. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies and a pickle bar. Led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none, all at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Humble's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Brett Veach, the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, joins us at 4:35 today. King at 4:06. Six more shows of Matt in total panic mode.
Next week's going to be fun. That's all I'm going to say.
Are they playing during the week this week?
No, but just leading up to the game, we got opening night, Monday night.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Your favorite thing in the world?
Oh, I just think it's nonsense. I mean, if you get any legitimate news out of it, sure. It's great, but, like, there's no legitimate news coming out of that. I mean, I can understand as an Eagles fan or a Chiefs fan, you want to watch it. That's your deal. That is your deal. Okay? So, I've got that. If anybody's neutral, it's not really. I don't know. Like I said, it's not like I've never been to it before. I have, and your ability to get information, like out of certain people, you can, or if you have a goal in mind, like our goal was to do features on Penn State players in the Super Bowl, so I got Michael Robinson and Jordan Hill. That was the primary part of it that I got, which was, so that part worked out great. I remember when Marshawn Lynch came out. Now, this is the year before he did the out in Glendale, I'm only here because I don't want to get fined. They give you 60 minutes, and I was talking with Mike. And Mike was in one of the booths. Jordan was in the bullpen area. Mike was in one of the booths. And this was done at the Prudential Center where the Devils play. So you're officially in if you're inside the boards. And I looked over, and Mike and I both started laughing because Lynch comes out. And Lynch steps literally 1 foot onto the concrete on what would be the ice. So now he's officially in. And he just stood there and said nothing. He was there for about 7 or 8 minutes. I looked over and said, Mike, he isn't going to say anything, is he? He goes, no. He says he's only doing this because he just doesn't want his pocketbook to be lighter. Right now, the year later, he used that expression, I don't want to get fined.
Yeah, which was a total joke, but.
Well, what's a joke about it?
Just answer questions for the amount of time you're supposed to. It's not going to kill you. He doesn't have a problem doing any of this other crazy stuff he does on TV.
But things are different now. He's not playing anymore.
I don't know. That whole thing really bothered me.
It also depends on if you've ever been burned by this before. And I don't know if he has. He may have been. Whether it was at Cal, with the Bills, I have no idea. High school? I don't know. If you get burned by it, do you want to do it?
Guess what? Learn from it and move on. Just like
learn
on the field.
What? If you get burned by it, do you want to do it?
But if you got burned by it, there was a reason you got burned by it, because you probably said something you weren't supposed to say. That's what happens.
So in other words, the media is so above board. They would never misinterpret what you're saying.
I mean, there's that. But even you deal with it and you move on. You can sit there and take questions for an hour. Stop.
Said by a member of the media.
I mean, that whole thing was a complete embarrassment when that happened. It was turned Media Day into a total clown show.
Good. Good. Guess what? You know what's happening at these media things right now? There's so many people that should not be there covering it based on my standard.
I do agree with that.
They turn Media Day into a clown show.
Now, that I do agree with there. And, like, when you have, like, random celebrities trying to get in there and be a journalist and all that kind of stuff, like, yeah, that stuff's embarrassment, too.
For every Peter King at this thing, I'm going to say that there are two that shouldn't be there. So the 5,000 is probably 1,500 that I think are legit. The others are not.
I don't disagree with that at all. Yeah. There can be improvement on both sides, but I think as a player, you need to bite the bullet and do what you're supposed to do.
You need to do what? He sat there, didn't answer any questions. He didn't want to answer questions. I mean, I sit there and go, okay, fine. I mean, here's the deal. Did I go over to try and talk to Marshawn Lynch?
No, because that wasn't your goal.
It wasn't my goal. I had no interest in talking to Marshawn Lynch. None. Zero. Like, I don't care. If he doesn't want to talk, I don't need to talk to him. I can do other things. I don't need to throw a camera or a mic in front, because I had a camera person with me. I don't need to throw a camera and a mic in front of him while I'm wasting my time. Okay? I didn't waste my time. I got Mike. I got Jordan Hill. I got Richard Sherman. Right? I got Peyton Manning. You know, I mean, I got Russell Wilson. I did pretty well. Just like I did, you know, I got Pete Carroll. I got John Fox. I mean, I did just fine. I didn't need him. And they all flocked over there like it was amazing to watch. It was the locust effect. I looked at Mike. I said, what are these people doing wasting their time? Like, ignore them. Move on. I mean, every single person that photographed him the next year where he says, I don't want to get fined, loved it. They loved it. Believe me, they played it over and over and over and over, right? So they wasted the time of everybody watching a playing stuff from a guy that's not saying anything. That's your feature?
I get it. I thought we gave him too much attention for being stupid at the podium. To me, he should have been ripped and not cheered for that.
I wouldn't have done anything. I'd have looked at him. I'd have gone over to some place where, because you've got an hour. You've got to be able to take care of your hour. You've got to take care of your hour. That's what you get. Take care of it. Don't waste your time on somebody. If you're not going to talk, I don't care. He doesn't want to talk. That's his deal. I'll find somebody who will. I'm not into wasting my time. I mean, exactly what profound thing is he going to say? I mean, what answer are you looking to get out of him? Why won't you talk?
I just wanted to be a normal person and just answer questions appropriately that you're given. That's all. I'm not asking for much. I'm just asking, if I ask you a question, I'd like a decent, thoughtful answer, and that's all.
What if a lot of the questions are yes and no questions, that you just answer yes or no?
Well, that's on the journalist's fault, then, which goes back to our point before, if there's one, for every one Peter King, there's two less. Don't ask yes or no questions if you're the journalist. Because that can happen, because anybody can do that. I'm not going to fault him for that. But if I ask you a nice open-ended question, I expect a decent answer in return.
I mean, you heard me ask two questions to Micah on the Inside Penn State Athletics thing. Which ones were yes or no questions?
None and none.
Right. There's a way to talk to people,
exactly,
and to interview them. You ask what and why questions as often as possible. Doesn't mean every question's perfect, believe me. And it doesn't mean that you don't ask a stupid question sometimes. I mean, for goodness sakes, I've laughed about it on the talk show with coaches. And I said, well, you know what? That was a pretty dumb question. And I could do that because I know over time I've asked enough good ones. And every once in a while you ask a real stinker. You look around and go, yep, that one's on me. That question stunk. You know? Oh, goodness gracious. The quarterback for Georgia, who Stetson Bennett, back-to-back national titles. We all know that he had the off-the-field incident with the DUI, whatever. We know that he had that. But, you know, he did something else where I sit back and I really shake my head. And that he had an offer to play in the Senior Bowl, and he skipped it. Now, in skipping it, he ended up in Texas, and we know what happened to him. And I'm going to give you a primary example of somebody who went to the Senior Bowl and helped himself out in droves. Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, after a really good season with Oklahoma, goes to the Senior Bowl, interviews, knocks it out of the park, as expected. Goes out, shows during the workouts, because remember, who's coaching the Senior Bowl? NFL coaches are coaching the Senior Bowl. And for a lot of GMs, you know, they have, you know, scouts are tracking college players as the season goes. But GMs are trying to get their teams, like Brett Veach, through the season. They really don't lock in on a college player for the draft until their respective seasons are over with and they got the time to really do it. So they're flocking in droves to the Senior Bowl and some of these other All-Star games to get a firsthand look at some people along the way. Jalen Hurts helped himself so much at the Senior Bowl by how he interviewed, how he practiced, how he played. And he ended up being a second-round pick and how he took him. This kid Bennett, on the other hand, I'm going to skip it. You're going to skip it. I don't even know if you're draftable. I mean, I'd like to see how he interviews. I'd like to see how he practices. I mean, he needs to get out there and help himself right now because he is somewhere on the third day right now. Can he get himself maybe to being a second-day pick? Whomever's advising him is doing a lousy job. I mean, Max Duggan, for example, was at the Senior Bowl. You know, hey, look, he played in the same game Bennett did. Guess what Duggan did after that? Got a hold of Jordan Palmer, went out to the West Coast. Palmer's working with somebody else now. I'm trying to, because I've talked to Jordan before. And I can't remember who Jordan's working with now. But Duggan went out there working with Palmer and the other guy, okay? And for those who don't realize, Jordan Palmer is Carson Palmer's brother. And he's got himself in the Senior Bowl. And, of course, you all know Duggan is knocking it out of the park in the interview side of it. The question is, how well is he going to perform in some of the drills? And he played in the same game Bennett did. Yeah, he ended up on the 7 part of 65-7, but he played in the same game. And guess what? He's been serious about what he's going to do at his next, you know, in moving forward his career. Bennett has not. I mean, Sean Clifford, for example, has already been to 2 All-Star games. And you know darn well the people, and not only that, from my understanding, Sean's performed well. Now, he's trying to get himself into this thing somewhere. Give himself a chance and a shot. Meanwhile, the other kid is acting so immature right now, there's no way in heck I would select him on this day. Now, say there's a change in how he goes about it. You know, I get a chance to talk to him. I walk away impressed. Okay, then I'll consider it. But what he's doing right now, he would not be on my board. He's not mature enough to play in the NFL if this is how he's going to conduct himself when he needs to be going through his job interviews. I mean, these are your job interviews at this point in your life. You just can't assume, hey, I'm the national championship quarterback. I've overcome all the odds. People love me. They'll take me. Wrong. This is the National Football League, which Jerry Glanville is right, is not for long when you do stuff like that. The great Jerry Glanville quote. I mean, if he wants to fulfill, I don't know what his dreams are, but if he wants to fulfill dreams of being in the National Football League, he needs to get serious about it and realize that all these things are job interviews, and you just can't show up at the combine and just start throwing the ball around. Jalen Hurts is the perfect example of how you go about your business. And he ended up being the 53rd overall pick in the draft when people thought he was a third-day selection. And now he is the starting quarterback in the Super Bowl and is one of the top 7 or 8 quarterbacks in the NFL. And you can and Eagles fans, if you were to argue you think he's the best, you're entitled to your argument. I'm just saying he's somewhere within the top 7 or 8. What number he happens to be, he could be 1 in your mind. He could be 7 or 8 in your mind, but he's one of the top 7 or 8 quarterbacks in the NFL right now. And for him, it's because he took his profession seriously. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So what's your game tonight? Oh, yeah, you go to Central Mountain tonight, right?
Yep. Sealands Girl Boys at Central Mountain for at least maybe a share of the Hack 1 regular season title.
Okay. Very nice. And that's tonight at what, 7, 6:30?
7:30 on the SBC Sports Live YouTube channel with myself and Ray Moyer.
Very nice. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And the Friday show is always brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket. I'm going to get to grant of rights in a moment. But the Ohio State, this is how much COVID affected athletic departments. Ohio State Athletics borrowed $48 million from the university because of the pandemic. And that is not atypical of what happened. And this is, you know, you have to remember, you know, they're coming off a year in 2022, or believe it or not, Ohio State set records. This is internal records for revenue produced by their sports. More and more of that information is coming out. Some of it's in a slow drip, but at one point they had to borrow $48 million from the university to because of the pandemic. And of course, yeah, that means you have to pay it back, of course, and they're capable, like Penn State is, of paying the money back. That's you know, and that's how that'll play out. Now, the grant of rights. I want to get to the grant of rights for a moment. Because grant of rights, for some reason, there is a segment out there, for some reason, that thinks these agreements are so easy to break. And they are not. I mean, as I said, I've read them. They're very simple and to the point. And that's what's so, to me, interesting about it. There aren't really any loopholes in it. And when you sit there and you look at the Texas and Oklahoma situation, that's where you sit back and go, yo. Okay? Texas and Oklahoma shook the college sports world in 2021, the summer of 2021, by announcing that they were going to go to the SEC. So let me ask you, which conference are Texas and Oklahoma still in right now? They aren't in the SEC. Nope. They are still in the Big 12. And guess where they're going to be playing football this year? In the Big 12. And guess where they're probably going to be playing football in 2024? In the Big 12. Why? Because they're trying to negotiate their way out of the Big 12 and everything stalled. And it's all surrounding the grant of rights. They just can't walk away and go, yeah, here's a check, we're going. They could, but they don't want to do it because they'll put them so far behind the eight ball financially that it's going to take them a while to get out. And that's going to be something that that people don't realize when it comes to all this movement that's happening in sports. If Texas doesn't want to pay the number to get out of the Big 12 2 years early, what do you think the means are for other schools to get out of theirs? Let's go to the ACC. Guess what? That grant of rights goes through 2036, which means the number right now is gigantic. It's only going to get smaller over time, and it's only going to become palatable in terms of the number until you get to maybe the last 5 or 6 years of it. There has to be some semblance of common sense when you talk about this stuff. Has to be. A lot of people are spouting, there's going to be an AFC and an NFC. Not now. Not right now. The Big Ten is going to be meeting, by the way, on February 20th and 21st. So, what's today? The 3rd? So, they're going to be meeting in, 2.5 weeks? So 2.5 weeks, I meet on the 20th and 23rd, a Monday, 20th and 21st, on a Monday and a Tuesday. And at that point, you can expect them to finally null out, or at least have a pretty good idea of what they want to do when it comes to 2024. 23 is set as to what they're doing. They're going to be in divisions. Everybody has. Okay? So let's start with this basis of what we do know about how they want to approach the football part of it. The one element that we do know is they're going to stick with 9 games. Okay? The reason is simple. You have a lot of schools right now that have already scheduled 3 non-conference games. So you can pretty much expect, just on the common sense level, since everybody has already scheduled 3 non-conference games for the foreseeable future, that they're going to stick at 9 conference games. After that, everything else is on the table. Do you go 1-16? Okay. Do you stay with divisions? Which would put, yeah, and you could put USC and UCLA into the West and shift Purdue over to the East. You could do that. Suddenly the West with USC and UCLA over there, I think, has a little different feel to it. You could do that. Now, whether they'll do that or not, I don't know. A lot of people seem to favor 1-16 with the top two playing in the Big Ten championship game. Okay. But divisions is still, you know, is still not off the table. And again, it is relatively simple. You put USC and UCLA in the West, and that gives the West a little bit of a jolt. You shift Purdue over to the East where they can join Indiana. You can go from there. Or do you go 1-16, and in your 9-game conference schedule, designate 3 opponents you play every year? Your 3 protected rivalries. That's also a possibility that is on the table. Right now, there's only 1 protected rivalry in the Big Ten. Contrary to what you think, it is not Ohio State and Michigan. Because they're in the same division, you don't have to protect it. Again, we've got to stick with the common sense part of this. The only protected rivalry right now in the Big Ten is Purdue and Indiana. They're in different divisions. They play each other every year. Thus, they are a protected rivalry. Okay. Now, let's move forward. In moving forward, if you go 1-16 and you decide that you want 3 protected rivalries for everybody, then yes, Ohio State and Michigan then becomes a protected rivalry. USC and UCLA would become a protected rivalry. Who Penn State's would be? I have no clue. Under the old system where they had the crossover, Penn State's crossover every year was with Nebraska. Michigan's every year was with Ohio State. Michigan State's was with Indiana. So there's a lot to be worked out here. A lot to be worked out. And they've worked out. They've talked about it enough. And now it is at a point where you have to start thinking about how do you want to schedule 24. Because the first game of 2024 is creeping up to about 1.5 years away. Kind of interesting to think of it in those terms, isn't it? That 2024 is, you know, the opening of the 2024 season is 1.5 years away. Yikes. But back to the grant of rights. For everybody who thinks, well, Florida State will leave, they'll go to the SEC. I mean, it's adorable you think that, but this thing is exponentially harder to break than people realize. If that's the case, why aren't USC and UCLA, by the way, playing in the Big Ten this year? If that's the case, okay, why aren't Texas and Oklahoma playing in the SEC this season or next season? A little bit harder to break than you realize. And that's what people don't seem to realize about this. It's very difficult to break these things because it's really expensive. And they don't want to give up all that money to do this because you fall, I mean, the pandemic taught everybody, you fall way behind. Texas has money. Yeah. But you don't see them breaking this thing, do you? No. And if Texas can't break it or doesn't want to break it, then how do you expect, for example, how do you expect Georgia Tech to break it? How do you expect pick somebody? I mean, even, let's say, Boston College. How do you expect Boston College to break it? How? They can't break it. They don't have the means to break it. And they don't have the resources to then make up for it. I mean, Maryland, for example, paid, and this is pre-grant of rights, Maryland paid a $50 million exit fee to get out of the ACC. They're still behind. They are not getting a full number from the Big Ten right now. They're still behind. And we've already talked about the Rutgers problem. Rutgers is so far behind, they think they're first. I mean, to be honest with you, yeah, they say 2027 is when they'll break even at Rutgers. You know what? It might be longer than that. I mean, they are really behind. They have borrowed so much money at Rutgers. It's sit back and go, yikes. And the borrowing's from the, you know, getting advances from the Big Ten. That's borrowing. Trying to make up for it. But this, the Texas-Oklahoma thing, should scream out to anybody with common sense how difficult the grant of rights is to break. We'll just give you the money. No, it's a bigger number than you think. They don't want to do it. And the SEC, by the way, does not want to help them. And why should the SEC help them? Like, okay, we'll take you when we take you. You know, we knew what your situation was. We'll ride it out. We're fine with the 14 we have. Same thing with USC and UCLA. They're not breaking their grant of rights. Nope. I think their grant of rights runs out August 1st. They become members of the Big Ten August 2nd in 2024. Okay. Because they don't want to break it. Now let's get to the ACC. Everybody wants Clemson. Everybody wants Florida State. Yeah, we're going to have 32 teams here. No, you're not. Not in this decade. Not in this decade. Now, maybe down the road, maybe you're right. But now, no. A couple years from now, no. End of the decade, no. You're not going to get any movement of schools in the next round until the end of this decade. Why? Because that's when everybody's grant of rights runs out. The ACC is still going to have schools that are going to be tethered together in up to 2036. The only way they can get out of it, to me, is if they get to the final 3 to 4 years of it where the number becomes smaller. Right? The Pac-12, they're going to sign a new TV deal. They probably have one in place, a few weeks from now, maybe 2 months from now. They've been very quiet about it. They're not going to get a big number. They're probably going to end up getting about what the Big 12 is getting, 29 to 31 million per school, something like that. It's not going to be the 48 that George Kliavkov told the California Board of Regents. Again, the Big 12, when their TV deal came out, that's when the California Board of Regents changed their mind about what's going on here. It was an education for all of us as to how the California Board of Regents works. It was an education for the California Board of Regents as to how sports and television operate. I don't think a lot of them on there realized it until they had to really examine it. And I don't blame them. That's not their job. Their job is not to look at TV rights, right? Their job is to look at the universities within their system, with obviously the emphasis on education. But when the TV thing came up, and deals and how they're made and so forth, and how the networks work and how they operate and what money goes where, they were told several items, and then when the Big 12 jumped the gun and then got its deal done and the numbers came in and the numbers were not what George Kliavkov told the Board of Regents they were going to be, that's when they sat back and went, oh, we got a problem here. This may be the only way for UCLA to athletically save itself. Because on a backloaded Big Ten contract, they're going to be doubling to 2.5. But that grant of rights part, Texas and Oklahoma, should be a lesson to everybody. If Texas can't break it and is unwilling to pay the number, that tells you that the number's pretty big. And by the way, the SEC has told them they're not going to help them. That tells you the number's big enough. Nobody wants to give their money away. And if you're wondering about Notre Dame is a little slightly different boat. Their grant of rights deals with everything else, most especially men's basketball. Their grant of rights does not deal with football. They're not a member of the ACC in football. They're a member of the they have an agreement to play, I think it was 4 games this year. I think next year it's 5. 5 games in the ACC. They have that agreement, but their grant of rights deals with the men's basketball part of it. It's exponentially lower than everybody else's. But you notice that they also don't have a deal once their current deal runs out. They asked for $70 to $75 million. I can assure you in no uncertain terms they are not going to get $70 to $75 million per season. Especially when you've got one game a year being shifted to Peacock. Ugh.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Yikes. I still have Notre Dame fans that are furious. I can't believe I paid money for that. I looked at him and said, yeah, that's a hard choice when it's your team. Yeah, and I meant that. I said, it's a hard choice when it's your team. Like, do I want to pay the money for that to watch the Marshall game? Then they lose the Marshall game. It's like, oh, geez. Talk about, like, hey, let's make everything worse. All right, we will come back with more in a moment. King next half hour, Brett Veach final half hour. We will start the next half hour with the Matt Cotrillo rant of the day, which will then lead perfectly into the King.
Perfect.
Just hearing you say that word made my day. When your kid sings the Eagles song, he gets most of the letters, right?
He does, actually, yes.
Are they in the right order?
They are, just some letters are skipped. But they're in the right order.
Skipped.
He forgets a couple letters, but everything's in order, though.
He's three, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, he's three. Okay? You ought to be in our staff meeting. There's the guy that's running the staff meeting. Every once in a while, I can tell you right now, spell Eagles. E-G out now, geez.
S-U-I-T, that spells suit-da!
Now, see, Doug can spell every time here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.